Hello, I'm David Ragosa, and I am the instructor for the course Advanced Statistical Methods for Observational Studies. Welcome to the Week Zero materials for the course that has numbers EPI 292, Statistics 266, CHPR 266, Education 260B in Spring 2021. The companion to this audio companion are the PDF slides under the Week Zero link. And part of the purpose of this introductory material, which I call Week Zero, is to show you how the remote asynchronous instruction works and also explain the special circumstances of this quarter's course. And so I have a lot of explaining to do, and I'll try to do that. Also, just to show you the basic logistics of how remote asynchronous, which I seem to be the main practitioner of, I do it last year in all my courses this year, how that works and why I think it's probably the best way to do this. Okay, so once upon a time, about 2015, I created a course for me and Mike Biaki called CHPR. I think it was 290 at the time, then they had to change the number before he was in the EPI department, before there was an EPI department. And 2015, we started this, and how that course worked in real situations, i.e. in-class instruction up through 2019, was that we had 9 or 10 weeks of instruction, depending on when Memorial Day fell. We did it on Mondays in MSOB 303, the nicest room in the university, although I'm not a fan of how they changed the projection, but that's moot here. And the way that course worked is that Mike would give the primary lecture, maybe 70 minutes, 65, 70 minutes, and then I would give a smaller 40, 45 minute section on data analysis and computing implementation. I call it Computing Corner, just to have a quick CC acronym. And those are the two parts of the course. And so that's how we proceeded each of the 9 or 10 weeks, is I usually went first, following up from the past lecture, doing data analysis, examples, implementation, some additional technical content, and Mike would give the main overview lecture, introducing the research settings and the statistical methods that were being presented. So that's how we worked, and it was coordinated, but not necessarily collaborative teaching. That is, we weren't interchangeable. We each had our segment, and that worked well. So that's why you see separate, or you will see, even this year, because week one is up, the separate parts, main lecture and computing corner. That is the main way the course was done. Last year, last spring, mid-March, to my great surprise, and also caught off on the wrong foot, we were banned from campus, and that's where I started this remote asynchronous, which is intended to replace, as well as we could, what we did in the in-class situation. The way the in-class instruction worked is that Mike would come with he calls a slide deck, and that's fine. And you'll see those are consistently formatted, lovely slides, and I have some in lecture zero, week zero here to show you. He would come and do, say, his 65, 70 minutes, and with walking you through the lovely slide deck that he had. And then I would get up, often have a handout, because I like paper, which is also incorporated in the slides, and you'll see links to those, along with a set of slides that are less special production values. We're going for content. And so a hodgepodge of the material I walked you through, and you'll see the difference in styles, and that's just fine. So we had those two things where we would present slides, walk you through them, and of course interact, and that was a nice experience. Tossed into distance learning, which is pretty much a train wreck, the best imitation or implementation of what we did in class was to take the slides that we would have shown you anyways and then do an audio companion, which is what we would have said in class, or what we had said in class. We just had to record it anew in lecture. What we miss are the asides, writing on the whiteboards of 303. You had to jump over people, but I still did it. Pieces of handouts, etc., that are now folded into the lectures. So that's the best recreation of the in-class experience we could come up with for this distance learning situation, remote asynchronous, where you have the slides, which is what we would have presented in class, and the audio, which is what we would have said in class. And the advantages of it, you can consume it at your own pace. This course was always very tightly packed. And so providing audio in parts to encourage you to take breaks or allow you to revisit things or even skip over things, because there's a little bit of review incorporated into all of the materials, I think provides a decent student experience under these distance learning restrictions. So that's the idea of remote asynchronous. We have PDF slides, which we walk you through with the audio companion. So that's what we did last year. And we'll see it again this year. And that provides us the ability to deal with the events this year. Mid-March, that is shortly before we're ready to begin spring quarter, Mike had to drop out and go off duty this quarter. In horse racing, we call it a late scratch. The decision was made to continue on with the course because we have, from the remote asynchronous instruction last year, all of the lectures, and I'll clean those up and edit them a bit to remove any logistics information from last year and update it to this year. So it'll be a little bit of annotation by me. I have all my Computing Corner lectures and audio, and I'll update and clean those up. About the only other thing to say, if I were back in Nashville, where I have a large recording studio 15 feet below my backyard, I would process the audio quite cleanly, where you wouldn't be able to tell any insertions or interruptions. Here in Palo Alto, and you can see where I am on the picture on the main page, which is slide one of the PDF, I'm just sitting with some crappy software tools, which I can make work, but there won't be perfect continuity, but you'll see a little bit, but I think that's easily dealt with. So we will be able to update everything to make it rather clean, both slides and audio, and have essentially the same presentation as we did last year with Mike participating. The big effect will be on the one unit research option, which I'll talk about more later, which of course is diminished by distance learning, regardless of how many instructors you have. So each week we'll have both a main lecture and a computing corner. Main lecture a little longer than the computing corner, with slides and audio, and that's the core of the course. And we'll go through some of the other aspects of the course as we go through the PDF. So that's the background. Here, I gladly take email at my email, which is right there. Any things I didn't say that I should say, that's a disadvantage of remote instruction, is saying this in front of the class, I'd get a quick question of something I overlooked. So I will be handling the website as I usually do and editing all the audio and slides to bring them up to 2021. I think that'll work out perfectly okay. Two parts, main lecture, computing corner. So that's so if you're here, you found the first boxed item, course welcome and logistics. I do the week zero for all my courses. It's good to do this first day stuff out of the first day of the class. We're in spring 2021, remote asynchronous. Okay, and a little bit of comment about Professor Baiocchi. And so we're going to go forward with all these materials. And so could pretend that I could put up a paper cutout of him and pretend he was actually active, but I think it's best to go the way we are. You can see where I am. This is me sitting in Palo Alto with microphones. So the first page PDF, getting into it, is our main page, and we have our website, which I run everything. I had the first course website at this university in the early 90s, so I'm used to doing this without pretending to make it slick. So just basics, and that'll work. Okay, design principles and statistical methods for observational studies. That's a good way of saying what we're gonna do. That is, there is more commentary and content about design than in typical statistical methods courses, where we talk about statistical methods and then try to do a sample size estimation for power. Although our Owen teaches some wonderful experimental design courses, statistics. The statistics department especially has gotten more concerned about that. And David Donahoe does some remarkable things about web-based and big data type design for data collection. So there is more of an emphasis of that in the statistics department these days. We have a 10-week outline, since there's no dead week, and I'm remote asynchronous, and that will go circled on page one of the PDF, lectures, course files, and reading. That's the main content page. This is the logistics page. And that'll be, and we'll flip through to that. I put up week one on that, so we'd have an example. So that exists on the web and exists in this PDF stack right here. So that's where you click through to get to all the real stuff. Okay, then textbooks. This course was developed around when Rosenbaum produced what I call Baby Rosenbaum. There's Observational Studies, which is a more technical book. This Design of Observational Studies is a more accessible book for various levels of statistical methods experience. And he also has some popularized versions, which I should link in as we go along. Additional research, Jamie Robbins has been developing a book with Miguel Herman for a number of years, doing the kinds of things he does. And then a basic book, which probably met in an introductory course about potential outcomes formulation and introduction to matching. That's Imbens and Rubin. Professor Imbens is over in the business school and econ department. Don Rubin, I took my first statistics course from at Princeton in 72. So I go that far back. We do everything in R, of course. That's over the decades, that's become a less controversial statement. We usually don't have very many R learners in this course, but it's set up so you could. That is, I do everything from scratch, and I try not to overly complicate things. I call it minimalist R, that is, using R to achieve the statistical methods objective of illustrating what we're doing, rather than doing a lot of tidyverse, etc. But I admire people that are doing fancier things than R. For instruction, I try to do bare bones. And I'm happy to receive code telling me here's a much more elegant way to do what I'm doing. I regard that as friendly and charming, not a put down. I have no ego in this. But for instruction, I try to do things as basic as possible. And I think that's probably a good idea. But I'm not trying to show off. So turning to page two of the PDF, which is just the continuation of the main page. I mentioned Cran-Trass views. To get R, I think Berkeley's gone for good. They kept getting their copper wiring torn up. Cran-Trass views, of course, are a great resource. Paul Rosenbaum has a software page for matching, which I think we'll mention. Mike likes R Studio. You can see I have lots of screens, so I don't need to do that kind of paneled thing. If you're just getting used to R, if you'd put on Stata or SAS, SAS is a good complement to R for certain large-scale things. I used to do a lot of SAS. Verzani's book and various pieces that are available online are a wonderful thing. And we have the Handbook of Statistical Analysis Using R, which is in third edition. Second is easily available at Stanford. And so those are all good. Dahlgaard, of course, is a book that's used a lot in teaching R. But that's just background. We won't talk much about our background. We'll just use it. And try to show you some of the packages, but to be honest, for observational studies, a topic that has exploded in the last 10 years, I've been teaching it for 30 at least, there's so many packages, it would be a distraction to try to be comprehensive. We'll just basically use the ones we use, make mention of others, and certainly you'll find your own way when you're in research groups, etc. Might well favor one package over another. That's not a big deal. Okay, then course components. Every week you'll see, and they're existing in the week one version of course lectures, files, and readings. Review questions. Those are homework style questions with solutions provided. Often solutions, since I'm doing them, that go on and on. Here's another way to do it. Here's another way to do it. These problems are for your own learning and consumption, not collected or graded. There's no weekly homework. For grading or credit, we'll just have one problem set this year. In class, we usually have two, but with distance learning and doing this remotely, one collection is going to be more than enough to handle. There will be special circumstances, etc. And keep in mind, if you're graduating, really to get this in a way that doesn't panic me. So there's one take-home problem set, won't be that long. That'll be the basis for grading. So we're trying to make this minimalist and simple, and that's done as a take-home exam would be. Basically, send me a PDF. There'll be instructions. There's no TA, so I will receive them. Try not to send me things that have a lot of infection in them. PDFs are reasonably safe, but clean them if you can. So the course problem set link will be active at the time when I post them, and I typically try to post in all these courses. This is the way I do it. Quite a bit ahead, maybe a partial posting on material that we've already covered, and then a final posting of additional problems closer to the end of the course. But I'll leave you a good bit of time to work on them. It won't be a large thing. We're trying to do this as cleanly as simply as possible. The third unit enrollment, which is a feature of the course since the beginning, which in regular years is a highly successful and valuable thing, where we get to talk to students often after class or even with separate meetings as the quarter goes on about their research. And then the culmination of that is making a 20-minute presentation to me and Mike sitting in my office projecting on a big screen, one of the big monitors, and you walk us through things and we talk to you about research. And that's I do that in other courses in former times, and that's one of the more useful things we can do. Remote distance learning, Mike handled these last year, I'll handle them this year. There's less interaction, of course, that we could do, and basically just posting our pubs or any other small write-up or slides and audio. Nobody ever chooses to do that, but I'm happy to receive the way I do it. Just walking us through 15 minutes of presentation, that will do it. As I say, this is usually a useful interactive event where we learn something about various areas of research, and that's valuable to me, but this is more done as everything remotely and on your own. So that's the third unit enrollment. It's a less attractive option than in prior years, but I'll certainly process them and learn from them, and that would be great. People always do a good job. Okay, I see I've already used 20 minutes of your time, so let me proceed to PDF page 3, which is just folded in. Mike had prepared some week 0 slides before he was going elsewhere for the quarter. And so I folded some of those in. These will show you the lovely formatting he uses consistently for his portion of the lectures. And so this is slides. PDF page 4 basically gives our rhythm. That is, on Mondays, typically the class was, so by Monday afternoon, I'll get everything up. That is the slides and audio files on our lectures, course files, and examples slide. And he shows a page from 2020. I have 2021 on the next page. That's our course files readings. I think I retitled it. So PDF page 5, if you flip to, is the lectures, course files, and readings. I renamed that to match more what we're doing. And that's week 1, course introduction, and that's where we'll start out on Monday. We'll always have, and it's boxed for your notice, lecture topics, and that's Mike's part, slide deck, and audio companions, and I will edit those up from last year. And then Computing Corner, extended data analysis examples, and I have slides for CC1, which is how I call Computing Corner to be short, and the audio companion, and those will be updated for 2021. We always have text readings, which go along with the lecture and are relevant to Computing Corner, and we have a number of backgrounds. I'll go through that as part of week 1 content, and I'll have a number of examples posted like I have for Lalonde, sometimes original and then redo just when packages change, and extensions of the original examples using additional packages. And that's where we'll come, we'll walk through those in week 1. And then I'll provide lots of links. I come from a generation where I'd actually have to get up and go someplace to even get a manual. So I enjoy being able to do it with one click. And this also shows you review questions, which come from both Computing Corner and from lecture. So that'll be how the course proceeds. And so that's our main content page. And each week I'll add in the content, the main content being the lectures and the Computing Corner, slide decks, and audio. Okay, PDF page 6 is another slide from Mike showing he uses consistent formatting. Okay, 2021, there will only be one problem set. End of week 9 is a good date. We'll pin that down. I don't want to crunch too much in a quarter, but I don't want to do it before we've done the material. And there's weekly practice problems. Those are the review questions. That's PDF page 6. PDF page 7 from Mike. You're going to have to access your weekly lectures. You are in charge of pacing. You can binge. You can do it any way you want. That's the advantage of my remote asynchronous. People should do what they want. And especially you can break it up so you don't sit for 2 hours. That's the whole idea of this. You can do it. You could access 2020 material if you wanted to. It's going to be pretty close. You could go back, as you see from a link on the main page, you can go back to the 2020 and access everything. I will do it week by week because I'm cleaning things up and making any logistical fixes I need to do. The problem sets, right. Please feel reach. Reach out. That is, you have my email address. Also have a telephone. If you have some issues or if I missed something, let me know. That's of use to everyone. I can update web pages. Phrase super weird. It's probably a good thing. It's even gotten weirder since 2 people are now 1 people. But that's Mike's statement, so I wanted to allow you to have that statement. So that's page 7. Now, turning PDF page 8, I wanted to do some content, but I'll do it very quickly because we have used a good bit of time. Week 0 intro content. This is one of my favorite observational studies examples, chocolate consumption and Nobel laureates, PDF page 8. And for those of you in the medical school, you might have thought that up to now, the New England Journal of Medicine did not have an appreciation of sarcasm. Turns out they're very, very skilled at sarcasm, and I always thought a number of papers should be read sarcastically, but this one is a wonderful example of intentional sarcasm. And so this is a publication a couple years back, Chocolate Consumption and Nobel Laureates. And there is some medical basis. Those of us who eat 94% lint bars, like Messerly does, I eat it when we did go to gyms. That's where I eat my chocolate. Flavonoids improve cognitive function, so there's some medical underpinning for this. Present in cocoa, 94% is good, et cetera, improve cognitive consumption. So there's a correlation at the country level, and we'll talk about aggregation. In STAT 209, the winter quarter course, that is an introduction to observational studies, well, second course in the statistics department, we go through aggregation bias, ecological fallacy, et cetera. This is a country level correlation, and it is one of my favorite scatter plots. There's a correlation, 0.8, which is big, between chocolate consumption and number of Nobel laureates per 10 million people. And let's go on to the scatter plot, PDF page 9. There it is, from the New England Journal of Medicine article. If you go back to STAT 209, week 0, and you can get that from Regressive Teaching, where you got cooked this course. The week 0, I have a list of references from my introductory week 0 course, and this, the paper and news reports are linked there if you want to see more about it. You have a lovely scatter plot. Is it causal? Well, you don't know. What direction does the causality go in? We won't do much reciprocal causation here. It's a topic I take up in the STAT 209 course. Correlation X and Y does not prove causation, good for him, but indicates perhaps that either X influences Y, Y influences X, or X and Y are influenced by a common underlying mechanism, i.e. spurious correlation. And we do a lot of the old examples, including Herb Simon's marriage and candy consumption in STAT 209. And so we have Sweden as an outlier. It does far better on Nobel laureates than its chocolate consumption would indicate. That may be hometown bias. Again, we're big on sarcasm today in the New England Journal of Medicine. And PDF page 10 just has the final page of the study. So that's a fun example, well, example I enjoy, just as some content. We won't be going through this in the main course. And we have PDF page 10, it's just the conclusion of the article. And then to clean us up, PDF page 11 is simply a piece from one of the news reports on the article. He's a hypertension expert, and Lindt's dark chocolate, which is what I eat. And he has a nice quote there, correlation and not causation. So we've covered that background, but you've seen lots of things before. And then the final slide in this week zero material is, again, another desperate attempt, pathetic attempt at student engagement. Another picture of me. Here I'm standing next to Bradley Efferon, who is far more important to the medical school than I am, so we got him in at, this must have been some statistics department event honoring Bradley Efferon. We do a lot of those, and that's a good thing. So PDF page 12 is the final page of this week zero intro, and there's me. That's how I'd be standing there. You can see the attempt is to show you you're not missing that much just by hearing from me rather than having me in front of you. So that's where we go. This week zero is just intended to orient you before we get going. We have a good enrollment in the course, and my objective is not to lose you. So let me know what you need as far as information or context, and that'll be probably clearer after we get the week one going next week. We have no intercession this year. It's quite a wondrous year. So this is Dave Ragosa. That's week zero materials, just to introduce you to remote asynchronous. That is, we go through PDF slides and I talk about them. That's pretty much what we do in class. Thank you very much.